to part two of Take It Back. Take it back now. Take it back. Take it back now. This is part two. We did part one. We kind of like talked a lot about the episode, but also didn't talk about the plot. Just talked about like the implications and the vibes, I think. So we have a lot to get to. So we're going to lock in, which is not something that we're used to. But first, we're going to start with everyone's favorite segment. Living in Chondaland.
Living in Chondaland! Man, it's been so long.
I was going to say, did you miss it?
I did. Also, to lock in is to be human. To not lock in is to be Carmen.
I was about to say, but you don't ever lock in.
I can't lock in. I get locked out.
Of my brain.
My brain.
Okay. We have 1, 2, 3, 4.
Catman.
Nope.
Fuck you. You're wrong. The guy who signs the mobile notary guy, the legal
paper.
Okay. The real estate agent.
No.
Fuck. Cock butt. Buttholes. Who else even is in this episode? The people from the White House. The guy and the girl.
Both of them.
Okay. So the mobile notary, the White House, and...
The other person's a little bit more of the episode.
More of the episode.
Just a bigger part in the episode.
Is it... Who else happens? What else? I don't have any notes. I don't have any notes look at my storylines. Is it the lady that Jimmy was married to?
Yes.
Okay.
It's Naomi. Okay. So
Naomi.
Alex, so this guy's name is Alex and it's spelled desert, but there's an accent over the first E. So I don't know what that makes it.
Desert.
He played Miles, so the gentleman from the White House. He is in one episode of Station 19, one episode of How to Get Away with Murder, one episode of Scandal.
Wow.
Susan Chong played Naomi. She was in one episode of How to Get Away with Murder. Bob Gebert. plays Miles, who's the notary.
Mario. I believe it's pronounced Gebert.
Maybe. He plays Mario, the notary, and he is in one episode of Scandal. And then Megan Maureen McDonough plays Rita, the lady from the White House, and she is in three episodes of Scandal. So, that is Chondaland. How does it feel to be back?
Feels good. Feel cheated. Feel lied to about the Catman. But I feel good that the notary was on there. I felt pretty good with that guess. So let's talk storylines. Let's take this thing one at a time, okay? Ben is back.
In the first little clip of after the wedding, they're arguing. And Miranda's like, you quit surgery. And I didn't... And I think you had mentioned this when we were talking kind of about why she was upset. With him coming back. And I think you had mentioned like, oh, she's worried that like, it's going to be how it was with Tuck. And that's what she says. Like, oh, I was in a marriage with someone who like said they understood, but didn't understand. And I'm just afraid like, it's going to be this other marriage where you're just like at home waiting for me because you don't understand what it's like. You just quit. And he said, oh, you think I wanted to quit? Like I was crushing it. I was the best one. I needed to be here with you. And then she's like, oh, you didn't want to quit. He's like, no, I didn't want to quit. And I do think, again, this is where the importance of communication comes in before you make huge life decisions.
Indeed.
Because maybe we could have come up with this solution that is presented that ends up happening from the get-go if we had just had the conversation.
How would Ben have cured her OCD if we didn't get to this point?
Right, obviously. Ben's coming back cured her OCD for sure.
One of the big dogs.
So in the 3-week time jump, him saying, I didn't want to quit surgery, he now has a job as a surgical resident at Gray Sloan Sacred Memorial Heart. Hospital.
Oh, yeah.
And they all think he's old, and it's funny.
How old is he supposed to be?
I have no fucking clue. Genuinely don't know. It's a good question.
Yeah. The other day, yesterday, I was leading a subject matter expert conversation on, like, what was it? What was the topic? It was case studies around, like, EQ, emotional intelligence. And I, at one point, was like, in my leadership career over the past 15 years, and I stopped, and I was like, fucking shit.
Yep.
I've been in management, and I had to do the math. So I think my first manager job was when I was 17. Mm-hmm. So 3, 10, 6, 19 years. I undersold myself. That's actually insane.
Because you took a break where you weren't managing.
Oh yeah, that's right. For 1 second.
Yeah.
Like, shit, dude, I'm old. It is occurring yesterday into today. I'm old. I'm over the hill. I'm done.
I'm under the hill.
I am in the hill. I'm buried
in
the hill.
I am the hill.
Because I have died on it.
Yeah.
Ooh, I like that. I am the hill because I've died on it so many times. Oh, fuck. I'm a lyrical.
Are you really
going to
die on this hill? Someone is.
To whom it's about to concern.
I think. Was it Jessica? I think we were talking about you, and she said, that man has never met a hill he's not willing to die on.
Mm. I have learned to not die on every hill. The problem is that I only die on hills that I'm correct.
Just, but that's yet to happen.
It's always. It is constantly. So anyways, yeah, Ben's in surgery. They treat him like an old man. They treat him like a child because he has a dinosaur-shaped peanut butter and jelly sandwich, which is hilarious. He's like, I clearly got Tuck's meal. Nah, dude, like, fucking own it. Like, you got a dinosaur.
They also, I feel like they've got to also think there's some form of, like, not nepotism, but something like that. Like, oh, how you got this job. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You know, you're married to this doctor and now you have this spot. And he's like, I don't, you know, Miranda, to her credit, is like, you have to be my spy on the inside, Hercules Mulligan. You have to figure out, like, why all this shit's going down and give me the update. And he's like, no, I can't gossip. And I'm like, baby, you gotta gossip. Gossip makes the world go round.
Well, I like his point where he said they won't trust me if I give you the deets. Like, I'm on the inside. I'm one of them now, babe. Like, shut up.
Nah.
Nah, I'm on Team Ben for
this
one.
Play it both ways.
Well, that's fair.
You gotta give your spouse the tea.
Only little sips of it. Keep some of the good details. Give sips. So that's one of the things. We also have a cat dude. Cat man.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. Tell us more about this person.
So there's a wreck. That's like a 6-car pileup that happens because this gentleman walked outside. And someone got so distracted that they ran their car into all the other cars. And this storyline is weird. I don't know, like, what's the point? Is, like, sometimes in life you do things you regret. I guess. I don't know.
I guess.
Also, respectfully, like, I appreciate that Steph goes to Jackson and she's like, you can fix him pro bono. The man has face tattoos and facial piercings. You take out the piercings. You have to get the face tattoos laser removed. What is Jackson gonna do?
I think she wants him to fix the structure of the face, the facial structure where it's been made to look like a cat.
That just looks like, I mean, maybe I'm wrong because I don't think they specified, like, but it looks like filler to me, like put above the lips to make them plump. Again, I could be wrong.
Maybe it's implants.
Maybe there's something Jackson can do to, like, kind of help take like the piercing so that there's not holes.
The way he also made it sound was that he had done that when he was 19 years
yes,
old.
That is what he said. There's a fine line in life where
preach,
you're
sister.
An adult.
Let's get it. Let's get it. Let's do this.
And your brain is not fully formed for 7 more years.
Correct.
And in that time, a lot of us make very large life-altering decisions.
Mm. Do it, lady.
Sometimes you go, I'll turn myself into a cat. Sometimes you go, I'll major in theater. You know, it's just like, and I'll take out a bunch of fucking loans to do it. Like, it's just, and we're just doing that. That's just like the way we're operating as a society, because we're like, someone arbitrarily at some point was like, 18 is adulthood. And I get it. I do. But I probably only get it because I've been told to get it.
Because,
like, your brain is not fully formed until you're 25 years old. When I work weddings for, like, 22-year-olds, I'm like, I mean, I hope this works out for you guys, but this is fucking insane.
Yeah.
And so, yes, he did this when he was 19. It's unclear if he's doing it because he, like, wants to be a cat or if he just wants to look like a cat. Those are different things. I personally, my truth is not that this man is, like, pissing in a litter box at home.
But you know what? We go back to the beginning of the episode. We don't kink shame here.
Yeah. And my thing is also, I'm like, it's not like, I don't even necessarily feel like this is a sexual thing. This is just
it's like a lifestyle. It's like,
yeah.
And that's
where I'm just like, can I just get a little more context, a little more explanation, please? I beg of you. And the answer is no.
Yeah. It's also like they really did that guy dirty because he goes and apologizes to the little girl, which was so sweet. And she just wakes up and fucking screams and says, no, thank you, sir. I don't want any part of whatever you're selling.
And then Arizona's screaming. Security's there. This is a good man. Like, we're supposed to feel bad for him. I feel bad for him that he's sad. I feel bad for him that he has regrets. I feel bad for him that he's basically made himself a hermit because he made these, like, again, permanent decisions at a very young age for a reason that is not super clear to me or to us as the viewers. I have no issues with tattoos. We were actually having this conversation recently because one of our nephews, who was 18, his first year of college, like, got his nose pierced. And we were like, that's dope as hell. And he was like, oh, I really want to get this tattoo. And he was talking to us because Michael and I have tattoos, and like basically no one else in the family on his Michael's side of the family has them. Obviously my sister's like covered in tattoos, but, and I have some, Michael has one. So we were talking to
does his mom
nephew.
Know yet that he has
yes.
a tattoo? Okay.
I have to tell you that story later, but yes.
Okay.
I
just remember the pool in your guys' backyard. And I think I had to put my hand over his.
Yes. You're like, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So we were talking to him and he was like, oh, I really want to get a tattoo, like, on my hand, up my arm. And I'm like, again, I'm very pro tattoo.
On my hand, up my arm, or
like,
on my hand,
on
of
my
arm?
Up, going up the arm. Yeah.
Okay. I thought it was on my hand, but a tattoo of arm.
Right. Yeah. What's unclear. So we were, my thing is like, and we were super like, we're like, listen, we obviously pro tattoo. Maybe for your first one, you don't get it on your hand. Maybe. Just a thought. My thing about it is also like, when you're that young and he doesn't know what he wants to do, like, career wise, there are plenty of careers where it's not going to be an issue. There are some where people will give him a hard time. And ultimately, listen, once a certain generation dies out, it's probably going to be way less of an issue.
Mm.
But as of right now, people are still going to be copping attitudes about it for no reason.
Yeah.
And like, but again, if I'm like, if you go into basically anything in the arts, no one's going to give a shit. Like, again, my sister works in costuming. She's covered in tattoos. No one gives a shit. Her hair is purple. No one cares. That's like, there are just certain industries. I could honestly be covered in tattoos. No, for the most part, it's not going to impact my job. Like, yeah, there's probably going to be the occasional mom and grandma who like give me some weird looks, but like for the most part, it's not going to be a big deal in my industry. So it's just kind of one of those things, like a face tattoo, that's going to be a rough one.
Yeah. In any industry.
Yeah.
Like, I think the most progressive...
Other than, like, maybe if you're a tattoo artist, you're probably fine.
Right, right. Like, hey, guys, check out my work. I did this. The thing that's... Yeah, even in, like, my field now, I actually am very open to tattoos, getting them. It's just if I could go under anesthesia and come out with a tattoo, I think I would do it.
I've heard some tattoo artists now will use numbing spray.
Mm.
It's not that bad. You've been in worse pain, I guarantee.
I don't know. I try to keep myself pretty insulated from pain.
I know
overall.
You're a big baby, but like I just like okay, the one like you don't get one on your ribs. Like the one on my ribs was pretty bad.
I want to
do. The other one was like way less bad.
I do want to do. If I was going to do a tattoo, I think a forearm one I would do. But I heard that one's also very painful.
Mm. My sister has a couple of those. Under.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be less. It's going to be more. The issue is like all this muscle right here is like going to because it makes your hand go crazy. I mean, you have to ask my sister. She's got them all over her arms.
Maybe I will. I think I just want to be a real man and get a tattoo right on my dong. In a place where it definitely wouldn't hurt.
Would you get it of someone else's penis?
No, I would get a tattoo of my penis on my penis.
Oh, maybe get a tattoo of Jessica on your penis.
Oh yeah. A 1/1000th scale replica. Of Jessica, a naked picture of Jessica on my dick.
Quinoa pineapple.
That's so funny. Anyways, but I'm open to tattoos. Actually, you've opened my brain to another tattoo idea of the drawing of Marlo doing the Pokemon, which is pretty funny. But I've always, not always, I've been over the last couple of years when we said goodbye to Grievous, I was open to a paw print of his, but inside of the paw print silhouette is actual General Grievous.
Yeah.
That's something that
I want. Which is really cool. A lot of that is like, that's a really cool idea. You just have to find the right artist to execute it. Cause I do think once you saw an artist like make that, I do think you would be like, yes, I must have this.
Probably. And that one I think could go right on my forearm.
Yeah. And again, a piercing, like for me, piercings are not that big a deal. Like you take it out, like even if the hole doesn't close up, it's not a big deal. Yeah. In my opinion. I've only got my ears pierced, though, so I guess I can't really speak about it. I'm going to get my nose pierced, probably within the next year. I'm really just waiting for Wyatt to be slightly less grabby, because I don't want her to rip it out.
In our HR code of conduct for our business, we should allow tattoos and piercings formally.
And any color hair.
Yeah.
And I'll let you have this insane beard that's going on right now.
I'll as soon as I get my haircut, I will trim it. I'll trim it all down.
It doesn't look bad. It's just so different from like your normal, like you're normally just like more like it's like a tighter look normally. And it's just really, it's just throwing me off because it's different. I don't think it looks bad.
Thank you.
Your hair might look bad. I don't know. It's under a hat.
No, it's just like flip. It's just like, it's like constant hat.
It's like Farrah Fawcetting on the edge of your hat.
All right. Grey's Anatomy. So the cat guy. Yeah, anyways, I think
we're going to lock in.
This is what locking in looks like for us. So Ben, we talked about Ben. We talked about Catman.
Okay, but what are your feelings on the Catman?
I think it's a sad story. It's sad because the guy's like, I haven't gone out in years. And I like, you know, I don't think that groceries and door delivery services have come as far as they have. Like post COVID and during COVID, so this is all pre COVID stuff. Like it's an interesting thought process to live in. I remember, I think I was living in Chicago at the time when this was taking place. This is like we're in 2013 in the show, right?
2014 now.
2014. Like I remember that's the start of grocery delivery services. Yeah. So there's a world where he doesn't have to leave his house. That's sad, but you know, he's living his life that he's, you know, the lot in life that he has created. For better or for worse. So I do feel bad. I like that there's an, it's, I don't know what the resolution is. We don't see
I
it.
I think
but
like the theme Jackson, of the I episode think, is like actions have consequences.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is a, it's a true statement.
For
in
sure.
life, actions have consequences. Something we're working really hard on teaching Bennett right now. He's really not grasping it.
I think the hard thing I have with this particular storyline is this is not Jackson choosing to break up April's wedding hurts so many humans.
Yes.
This guy doing what he did to his face was a choice that hurts no one.
Yeah.
It's just whatever, like you bring up a good point. We don't know what the choice was. It because of the girl? Was it because of, and he's like, oh, the cat man gets lots of tail. Like I fucking pull. Okay. And then 5 seconds
later.
Which
also like, if this was like, not oh. network television, like if they made this on network, like, or on Netflix or any other like streaming platform, he would have said the cat man gets pussy.
Hmm. Yeah, missed opportunity. Absolutely.
Well, they can't say that on ABC.
Let's see. But yeah.
But
so
yeah,
it's,
I just not, feel like yeah. the backstory to me was unclear. Because like, it's such a choice. And I'm like, I don't know. It was just like. And then it's like they make it seem like, oh, he's so used to people staring at him. Which would make sense if he ever left his house. So that's where I was just like. It was just a really odd story to me. Like, I agree. Like, they want us to feel bad for him. I do feel bad for him. He made a choice. He regrets it. It had lifelong implications. And he would not like it anymore to be that way. And he's, like, a good person. You know, he's really concerned about this kid. He, you know, he, like, it feels bad for these this crash that he's basically caused. Which, by the way, if you can't drive a car without wrecking because you see something weird, you probably shouldn't be driving. I don't really think it's his fault. Like, I understand that he thinks it's his fault. He was not in the road, like, acting like a cat. He was walking down the street.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So I do understand that he feels guilt. Anyways, like, obviously, it gets him to the hospital. It gets him to this point where he can potentially, like, change his life for the better, which I hope for him.
When
I just think it's, like, a weird... Like, they always, you know, have the patient parallels, and I think this is a weird one to offer us.
Yeah. Callie is, like, really having a hard time not making jokes. She makes a comment about him having 9 lives.
Yeah.
It's, you know, maybe a little bit unprofessional. It's teetering.
A touch.
Good thing HR is involved in this company now.
Thank God, finally. So, yeah. Also, at the beginning of the ER scene, we get this whole thing where Owen's, like, trying to give assignments, and he's like, Stephanie, you need to go with Avery, and she's like, oh, and he's like, oh, right, I can't put you with Jackson, so then he's like, Ben, you have to go with Jackson, and Weber's like, no, he's with me.
You can't break up the big dogs.
Yeah, and Owen's like, I cannot keep straight who can and cannot work together in this hospital anymore. It is too difficult, which, like, Owen sucks this episode, but, like, that is a good point. Like, it shouldn't be difficult, especially in, like, a situation where people are coming in literally life and death, and people are like, I don't like this person. I can't go in the room with them.
Yeah, people are dying.
Yeah. so, I again, it makes sense that HR is getting involved.
Yeah, absolutely. Because
it shouldn't be in these situations where, you know, it's life and death. Anyways, so that's all happening. Oh, and Owen is like, again, let's talk about Shane. Okay, so Shane, basically, I'm confused. I don't think Shane's responsible for Jimmy's death. To my understanding, Jimmy was gonna fucking die. Did Shane help? No. Did he maybe expedite it? I don't know. A little. I don't think that he, like, I don't think Jimmy was about to get up and run a marathon. I don't think Jimmy was going to leave the hospital alive.
Here's,
but maybe I'm misunderstanding.
I'm going to throw maybe a take that no one saw coming at this.
Okay.
I'd like to go on record and say Shane did not murder Jimmy. Okay. Let me in this essay.
Attempted,
I will.
Though.
Yeah, you know, maybe a little bit. So Shane, when the wedding is happening, who knows how far away Christina was? Okay, he should have paged the other guy. Who is the
Russell?
Yes, absolutely. You thought you could handle it. You were up over your head. the consequences that he had stemmed from the poor choices around a system that should not allow someone to alter their hours.
Yeah.
The system flaw led to him making a poor choice, which led to bad medicine and the hallucination and the sleep deprivation also, and all that.
And they've addressed this in previous seasons, the like culture of you have to be at the hospital all the time. If you're missing opportunities, you're like missing, your career is going to go out the window. If you're not here at every hour, like you're weak, you have to be
very
here
high pressure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And they're like, you know, yes, we have you have a scheduled shift, but like you just better be here all the time regardless.
Yeah.
So I do think there's like that culture also obviously would go into it. And then again, like I'm not blaming Christina. I just think that like he has issues where he like if you look at how he was with Derek and how he is now with Christina, he's like to follow in these footsteps, I must become them.
Yeah.
So I have to be hyper competitive. I have to be all this, because like when he was on Derek's service, he was like trying to be charming all the time and all this stuff. So it's almost like a mirror image of like whoever he's studying under.
Mm. Yeah, it's a good call out that I haven't thought of. But let me just finish this thought here. So
yes, please.
The way that I felt Shane directly was relating was responsible for Heather's death. I don't feel that with Jimmy. Jimmy was going through a lot. He had already had a heart surgery. It was not looking good when he went into the surgery.
Yeah.
Maybe he gave the Grim Reaper a slight assist. But the difference with him, with Jimmy and Heather, is Shane made an outright decision to be deceptive, and that led to Heather's death.
Right. So, and what about Izzy and Denny?
Oh, absolutely. Izzy murdered Denny. And the clot also murdered Denny.
Yes. Izzy sent the clot.
Izzy sent the clot as the hitman to kill Denny. So, yeah, I need everyone to know that I think that Shane was obviously under a lot of the stress and the pressure physically. He was not in the right headspace. I think that Weber does a good job at calling that out. It's interesting that it's revealed that Christina fought to get Shane back, but she's also like, don't be a fucking moron, we're done, we're not having sex anymore. Yeah. But also, you deserved all these punches that Alex threw at you. And Shane tries to he tries to do the right thing. He goes in there, he apologizes, and Alex just fucking torches him, dude. And Shane doesn't fight back once. Shane just takes it. Like,
yeah, he's like, thank God I can feel something. Like, this is crazy. I mean, he goes and he's like, I owe you an apology. And Alex says, you gotta go. He's like, walk away. Alex is also, you want to talk about not in a good headspace. Alex is also not in a good headspace. Obviously, like, Alex already had so much baggage with his father, but it was so conceptual because it had been so long. It had been like 15 years.
Yes.
And then his dad comes back, doesn't remember him. He's done it again, right? He's had another family. He's abandoned them. Now Alex is like, okay, I'll talk to him. He's like, let me shit talk your mom. He's like, you're a terrible dad. It's like all of this stuff that Alex has to go through to process the entire relationship he's had or has not had with his dad compressed into a very teeny timeline. And on top of all of that, his dad's dying. Like, there's an expiration date and it's coming in quick.
Yeah. And while that's all happening, he has to process his emotions while also being a good person, good guy Alex coming through and helping his dad cross to the other side in that, like, hey, they're on their way. They know that you love them. It's okay to go.
Yeah.
That also, shit was intense.
We can talk about how he thinks he's engaged to Joe. Did you see that coming?
No. And also, I'm with Joe. That was not a proposal.
Yeah. Correct.
Jessica and I would talk all the time about like a future, like, yeah, if we're together, like, this is the thing, this is like, these are the things that we want. I envision that with you. Doesn't mean we're engaged.
When you propose to someone, here's a hot tip, guys, you're gonna love this. As someone
in
the wedding industry,
wait, I need a pen and pencil.
Yeah,
okay, go. I'm ready.
As someone in the wedding industry,
when
you propose to someone,
what
is very important is that you say, will you marry me? Now
marry me.
There is an exception. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you are on one knee and you have a ring out and they've already started screaming yes, you don't have to ask the question.
There are
context clues and implications surrounding that. He's done neither of these things. So this is, in fact, not a proposal. You cannot just start introducing someone as your fiance and hope that they get the message.
Yep. I think it's also worth pointing out there's a lot of cultures and backgrounds that we deal with here. So I imagine that your parents will have a conversation about your arranged marriage, and in which case that will also be very clear to you. So,
but even sometimes there's still like a proposal. Like, it's not really a question, but like it's, you know, the act.
Let's think about Encanto. Okay, that was an arranged marriage, and the guy still had to get down on one knee and propose to.
Isabella, yes. Your boyfriend's here.
Time for dinner.
What a good song.
It's truly the apple bottom jeans of the Disney song.
Okay, so yeah, that non-proposal. And then when Joe's like, hey, yeah, so like I actually don't think we're engaged, Alex takes a lot of offense to that.
Sorry,
bro. You didn't propose, so I don't think you get to be mad about this one.
Yeah, and you better watch out, Alex, because I might propose to Joe, okay? Yeah. And I might say, will you marry me? But I won't get down on one knee, because I didn't do that for Jess. I don't think it would be fair if I did that for Joe then. Although I did do it after the fact.
You didn't do it, so then you did do it, because she made you do it.
Yeah, but also I didn't do it because I see women as equals, and I'm trying to fight the patriarchy.
Well, you had to get down on one knee so you could be eye level with her. Jessica's very short.
I was going to make a very inappropriate joke, but...
Thanks.
Let me go ahead and make this joke.
Don't.
No, I'm kidding. Let's do a capitalism. And we're back. I really thought you were going to do it, and then you said nothing, and it just, you know, we did it.
So, yeah, that's... when it was happening, when we were watching the other episode, and I asked you about it, and you were like, oh, it was such a sweet moment. Like, I love that. How great for them. And I was like, I can't wait for him to find out that Alex thinks that this was the proposal.
Yeah. Nope.
It's not. So, I mean, I will say I do think she explained it well, and then Alex ultimately took it well. In the moment, he didn't super. He was like, I can't deal with this right now. I'm like, bro, this is of your own design. Like, this is not her fault. You cannot cop an attitude with her. You did not ask her to marry you, and then you just started telling people she was going to marry you.
Yeah. Also, 3 weeks goes by. They didn't have a single conversation.
I also had that note of like, okay, it's been 3 weeks. I guess they haven't met anyone new that he's needed to introduce her to. And so he's not, I mean, it's not hard for me to believe that he's the type of person that would propose and be like, we don't need to do any wedding planning. It'll fine. It'll just figure itself out.
That to me tracks. I think I disagree a little bit on that, because even in my head, I think the day our proposals were very different than what we saw with Alex and Joe. But in those 3 weeks, Alex never said one time, hey, do you think at our wedding, maybe we should have this food? Hey, at our wedding, do you think maybe we should we get married in Seattle? Like not a single conversation of, do you think at our wedding X, Y, and Z? Nothing. That to me is insane.
But also, like, I feel like you can have that conversation also, and it can come off as like conceptually, like you can have those conversations before you're engaged. You're like, oh, like, you know, when we get married, I really want to do this. And that doesn't necessarily,
that should have sparked a conversation from Joe of like, when you say when we get married,
let's but if you say it like that once or twice, I feel like it's, you can kind of be like, oh, that's so sweet. We're talking about the future. Like when you get to the third and fourth time and like a compacted time period, then I could be like, are you planning this? But yeah, that was, that's a wild one to me.
Yeah.
Okay. So what else is it? Okay. So let's talk about Derek and Meredith. Derek Meredith's mad because Derek is in fact not going to be stepping back and helping her because he is Derek and he has to be Derek in Washington,
D.C. Save the country.
So he's obviously being vetted by the White House, which is for you youngsters. That is something that used to happen. Now they do just give any job in the White House to any person who sneezes in the right direction.
Well, hold on. Let's be fair here. You have to be a billionaire convicted con artist felon who rapes women and children.
And there's a lot of rules. Climb up Donald Trump's asshole.
Well, I was actually just describing Donald
Trump. You don't have to be vetted. So this is something they used to do. This is history books. Okay, so
has this just become a political podcast satire? I don't understand what's happening here.
So he's being vetted, and they're like, "Well, who's this guy? Who's this Michael fellow?" And you know, it's like all dramatic, and it cuts away. So what were you thinking? Oh yeah. Oh, they're like, "Why are you sending his?" His mom, $3,500 every month, which is very generous.
I thought at first there was an illegitimate child.
Right, which would be a wild storyline.
A missed opportunity, honestly.
Just watch Gilmore Girls, Carmen.
Oh, great. I love Luke Steiner. So I don't know. It's an interesting storyline. Meredith, I'm not on Meredith's side on this one because she's like, oh, great. You're so good that you, A, get vetted by the White House to save the human brain from extinction, which, and also B, you made a mistake as a teenager and now you make enough money to where you can help someone's life and right a wrong that was unintentional. Wow. You're so perfect, Meredith. Meredith. Wow.
Meredith and Merrick.
Meredith and Merrick. So I like that. That's like, it's a good storyline. It's like, it sucks. That's what happened.
Yeah.
But Derek is taking his ability and he's paying for the long-term care of this.
So what is it that you don't agree with Meredith on?
I just think that you're just being too mad at him.
Why?
He doesn't have a choice. It's the president. And this time it was Barack. He didn't have a choice.
Yeah. There's no way they would do this. If it was Trump, they would do it with Trump and he'd be like, fuck off. As he should.
Yeah. And also, I don't think that him doing this project is going to take away from Meredith. Like, he's not saying you need to take a step back. He's saying we're both taking a step forward. We just need to figure it out now.
So what do you think if he takes this, which it seems like, you know, they're setting him up to being taking this, what do you think that looks like for him?
I think they need to hire a nanny. I think he probably spends a little bit of time in DC. And the second they complete the brain mapping, he dies in a plane crash.
How much time would you be chill with being apart from your spouse if you have two small children?
If they hire a full-time nanny, I think that's the key there. But I think a world exists, Jess and I have talked about, like, if I was to get a promotion and I had to travel, and let's say I was traveling out of state, I think 2 to 3 nights at a time, if it was once a week or every other week or whatever it was, I think is totally fine. Yeah. If it was me and I'm Derek and I'm flying to DC for a week on and then 2 weeks off or something like that, I think that there's definitely some possible options on that. I think that's all doable. If it's solo by yourself with no nanny, one night.
Yeah, but then it's like, but then you're also like missing your kid's childhood. Your kid doesn't know you.
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree. But this is not a 10 to 12 year thing. This sounds like it was a consult for...
How long do you think it's going to take a man to map a brain?
A man or Derek Shepherd? Derek. Yeah.
The superhero. Super Derek.
A 1 year contract to me sounds reasonable.
Yeah. I'm on Meredith's side because I'm always on the side of being mad at Derek.
Totally.
He did make a promise. He can, in fact, say no. Like, you can. it's easy to say that. It's the probably the hardest no you're ever going to have to give in your life, but he could do it. He's not going to. I can think of a
couple things that would be harder to say no than that.
I'm just saying, he could say no, and he doesn't want to. He wants to do it, and it's an incredible opportunity. Don't get me wrong. I'm not like saying this casually. I'm just saying he could commit. Like when they first made the pitch to him and he was like wearing the baby in the meeting and being like, I don't care. Like, it doesn't matter how much money they're offering me. It doesn't matter. Like, I don't care. But then the president calls and, oh, now I care. And so again,
I don't know. The ability to say no is there. The ability to say no for anything is there.
Correct.
You're right. You're right.
I know. Factually, you're right. I am right. He could say no. I'm not going to like excuse his lies because he can't say no. He can. I understand that he doesn't want to. I understand that it is insane to say no, but he could still do it.
Yeah. The logic of could and should is getting blurred here. Again, it's Barack, Kelsey.
I think he should say no.
I think he shouldn't say no. That's insane. That's preposterous. But that's why we make such
a great
team.
They've never said it's Barack. We are saying it's Barack. Let's say it's alternate universe, random person who is not terrible, but who is also not Barack Obama.
I think if I look
a guy,
if I look back at, if it's just a person and not the president.
No, it's the president, but it's just a guy. Like, it's not, you know, a life altering, like his, like,
yeah,
ultimately insanely historical
it.
President. Yeah.
You still take it.
But then you can't use the argument of it's Barack.
If it was me, if I'm Derek, there's internal turmoil. If it's not Barack, if it's Joe Biden, there's internal turmoil. If it's W, if it's H, if it's Clinton, there's turmoil. Barack, I'm taking that call. I'm taking that. I say, Barack, whatever your question is, the answer is yes. I'll figure it out.
Yeah. I see where you're coming from.
I got a call and it was Donald Trump, and they said the president's on the phone, my little flip phone is getting closed.
I have to go buy a flip phone so I can slam it. I do miss doing that with my flip
yes.
phone.
Like, yeah,
there's just such like a finality to it every yes. time.
We have a lot more of this episode to talk about.
Yeah.
I think.
Okay. I'm so
lock in.
Yeah, locked in. I will say Shane. And Alex, that's assault. Alex has assaulted
absolutely.
A man.
Shane should sue.
Charges should be involved. Like,
absolutely.
Alex, I love you. Stop punching people. You're a grown up.
Yeah.
So they pull him off of him. Shane's all beat to shit. Also, in that initial moment where he's like really beat up, and then like when Christina's cleaning him, I'm like, okay, that like it looked insane at first. And then, like, she cleans him up, and I'm like, okay, that's actually not that bad. Anyways, but he's, regardless, don't punch people. And Christina, I like the moment that Christina has with him.
Absolutely.
Where,
it is a great
moment.
Where
she's like, you have made horrible decisions. But you also have made incredible decisions that have genuinely saved a life, and I can show that to you right now. So remember, this is why you're here. This is why you need to keep going. This is why you need to get your head out of your ass and make good choices, because this is what you can do when you are at your best.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you did hallucinate and operate on someone, and that was an insane choice. Don't do that again. And
because
yes,
you didn't sleep for 6 weeks.
You did, in fact, deserve to be punched for that decision. But also, that's still assault.
Yeah.
But I am glad that she was like, we're not going to sleep together anymore.
Yeah.
Obviously, very glad about that. On that note, Owen is being just a dumb cunt. And I hate it. I'm like, I'm on Richard's side. I'm like, you are just doing this because you found out about Christina.
Absolutely.
Like, Owen absolutely would have been hard on Shane. I do think he would have said to let him come back. Initially, so they in the 3 weeks, I guess they had like meetings and they voted to let him come back, and Owen did not vote for him to come back. I do think if he had not slept with Christina and or if Owen didn't know about that, I think he would have voted to let him come back. And I do think he still would have been hard on him and been like, let's teach, you know, let's reiterate back to basics kinds of things. But I just think the level that he is at and the, like, the public humiliation that he is intentionally doing is a direct result of the fact that he knows that Shane and Christina were fucking.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's so wildly unprofessional.
Multiple people. And you actually have that moment where he goes and he goes to do, I think, the stitch. And he's like, tell me the whole anatomy of the fucking midgut, dude. Yeah. No, crazy. Oh, if you're going to do a simple stitch, you should be able to tell me the entire anatomy. Tell me how humans evolved from cells into where we are now. Please explain a million years. Like, what the dude, what the fuck are you doing?
And then he doesn't let him do it. And he's like, I can't believe you don't even know how to do this tie. That's not what happened.
No. Yeah.
Stop trying to gaslight an entire OR.
Yeah. The thing that is crazy is Weber a couple of times voices his opinion, and then other times he's like, I just can't do anything about this. Like, there's nothing I can do right now.
Yeah.
Owen's gonna be an asshole no matter what.
I do like that Owen gets called out. Weber's like, tell me this isn't about who he's sleeping with. And Owen's like, oh, do you really think I would do that? And Richard goes, I didn't before what I just watched you do it, which is valid.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also insane, because, like, what about Emma, Owen? Who fucking cares? What about Emma?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Also, it's speaking of
awful. And that's when HR pops up and they're like, oh, we have an issue. We have a small issue that will derail this entire hospital.
Yeah. Also, talking about inappropriate OR conversations, when Leah, like, slams, scissor into some sterile water or something, and Jackson's like, do you have something to say? And then she lights him up, and he's like, why did I even ask? Like, I knew.
She's like, as a matter of fact, I have a lot of things to say.
Yeah. Pretty funny.
Jackson's like, well, I didn't plan it. I'm like, I believe you, buddy. That doesn't matter.
Doesn't fucking matter.
You did it. Doesn't matter if you planned it. Mm-hmm. You could have just not done it. Yeah. But instead, you did it.
Yep.
That's the issue.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
So anyways, I'm very much on the girls train for Leah on that one.
Speaking of girls train, Callie in Arizona.
Hold on, wait, really quick.
Okay.
I have some Leah quotes. I don't like gossip. I don't like you. That was funny. She said that to Ben.
Yeah.
And then also in that same conversation, Ben says something and Joe goes, can it, Pops? So funny. Okay. And then they're, when Joe's trying to figure out when Alex proposed, and Leah says, stop talking about weddings and engagements. She was just left at the altar. And Joe goes, no, she wasn't. And Leah goes, she was left near an altar. Funny. Okay, so Callie in Arizona started, they're loading up all of the presents at the wedding in the back of their car so they can, like, deal with it on behalf of the newlyweds that weren't the expected newlyweds. And they lost a card, and Arizona's, like, losing her mind. And Callie's like, it's not a big deal, we'll fix it. And Arizona's like, we can't fix it. You're trying to fix me and I'm fine and you don't understand. Like, stop trying to fix me. And Callie's like, I'm really sorry. You don't need to apologize.
I have no idea what's happening here.
And Arizona's like, I'm not apologizing. I'm not the same. And Callie's like, okay, can we maybe just go home and talk about this? And Arizona's like, that is not my home anymore. Like, it's, like, so fucking, so escalated.
Yeah.
Like, insane. Cut to 3 weeks later, buying a house. Potentially a murder house. It's not been made clear. But this is, I do like the scene at the end when they're with the notary. And Callie's like, I'm really nervous. I'm afraid that you think that we're buying this house and that's going to solve everything, but you don't realize that it's basically just going to move all of our problems from our apartment to a house. And that's why I'm worried about, which is a valid concern. And I'm glad she voiced it. This is the closest thing to healthy communication we've gotten in a long time. And Arizona's like, you know, our apartment is filled with so much like negative memories. You know, like there was a hospital bed in our bedroom. You had to drag me into the shower because I wouldn't bathe myself. There's like all this screaming and all this fighting. And like this house, we don't have those memories here. This house, we can start new. Like, it's not going to be something that I think of every time I'm there. It's going to be new memories with us and new memories with our family. And I love that for them. I think it's beautiful. And I think she's really genuinely happy. So I do like that conversation. So do you feel like that? Like, where do you feel like they are?
I think that they're in a healthier spot. If they were able to come back from finally Arizona is like, dude, stop trying to fix me. And they seemingly over 3 weeks resolved it. I feel good. If we saw at any point in this episode, Arizona still say to someone in passing or in secrecy, I hate that Arizona's or Callie's trying to fix me, I'd be like, I have concerns. But it looks as though that there has been some sort of healing that has occurred. And for that reason, I'm happy. And I'd like to see them succeed and move forward.
Yeah.
Because previously there was a lot of Arizona to Callie saying, yes, this is good. I'm working really hard. And then behind the scenes being like, stop trying to fucking fix me. Like, what is she doing?
Yeah, blah, just blah, complaining blah. To other people.
Yeah.
It does. Yeah. It just, again, feels like a better level of communication. Okay. A couple other things at the very beginning. When Meredith is mad and she like storms out and Christina asked Eric like, oh, is that about me? And he says, no, it's about me. And she's like, oh, better you than me. And then, God, what did he say? And she's like, what do you mean the president called you? And he's like, of the United States. And Christina is like, you are not serious. Like, it's just a cute moment. Like, the energy is really cute. And I really like it. And then later on, because Meredith and Christina are back, Christina invites Meredith.
Which I'm very happy about. Yes, very happy about.
The operating room with her. And they're just like, are you sure? Like, it's our first one back. And she's like, yes, I'm really sure. Like, I want you there. It's very cute. So they're in there and Christina starts to kind of side with Derek and Meredith's like, are you gonna side with him when we just got back to normal? And Christina's like, you are right, fuck that asshole. And I love, again, girls girl, we love it. So
what was that, alligators? What are you doing here? What's
the little clap?
Oh, okay, it's cute.
It's on the internet. You have to
I have to be on the internet for that.
You're on the wrong internet. I can tell you that right now. That ain't algorithm.
Listen, I am on. My algorithm is perfect. It is flawless.
So what other notes do I have? What else do we need to talk
about? Did we even really talk about April and Jackson episode and the fact that the secrecy has happened, the wedding?
Like, yeah, because we talked about how they keep making it seem like they're not together. Yeah.
I'm just so happy. The way that they embraced at the end and they're like, we're just happy to be together. Also, when he said, we could drive to Lake Tahoe in 13 hours. Don't ask me how I know that, though.
Yeah, okay. Like, it's not that hard to know, like, where you are. Like, she's like, how do you know that? I'm like, because of geography? Like,
I couldn't tell you how far I am from Lake Tahoe
that
right
scene,
now.
There were a lot of moments in that one that also made me laugh. And he says, you can't just walk back. She says, why? And he goes, bears. Funny.
Yeah.
She's like, what about our parents? He's like, oh my God, my mother. And she's like, what are we going to do? And he goes, I think the easiest thing is to just never talk to any of these people ever again. So that's funny. Like, that's, I hate this moment, but that's funny.
Yeah.
And then she's like, he says, we should get married. I don't want a date. I want to be all in. And like, whatever, you know what? Do what you want. Commit to your bits, but.
Commit to your bits.
It's not. I'm just not for the J-Pro.
I'm here for it. I'm a big fan. I love it.
Go ahead.
I don't want either of them to die. Unless it's together.
Okay.
In an embrace at like the bottom of Mount Vesuvius.
We talked about Jimmy dying, but we'll talk about Alex calls Naomi.
Yeah.
So the current wife and mother of the kid in Florida. I think they said Florida.
Yeah.
So, and Joe's like, what did you do? And he's like, I told her that he died. And Joe says, you can't just lie. And Alex goes, turns out I can. It's real easy. Love that.
Yeah. But she comes and she like takes the guitar because apparently it was her dad's and he stole it. And that's one of the things that Jimmy is dealing with as he's going into the pearly gates is he's like,
and he tells
I need
Alex,
to give back the guitar.
He's like, where's that guitar? And he's like, oh, I put it in storage. He's like, oh, I really like want that here. I want to give it back to her. Like, that was one of the worst things I ever did. So it's nice that he recognizes it. You know, sometimes you just get to a point like too little, too late. Like, yes, it's sad that you're dying, but that doesn't excuse the fact that you've done like horrendously shitty things to people. It just doesn't.
Yeah.
So I think the storyline of yes, like all again, Alex is going through this entire insane amount of like emotional processing for this relationship, but also like hand holding Jimmy, which is something that like he does not owe that man. No. And then also dealing with like the fallout of the fact that Jimmy has done this shit that he did to Alex to another family and like seeing it in real time. So it's just like obviously a lot on Alex. And that's how we get into the point of like, well, now he'll just be punching people. And then also at the very end, they're like, when they call the emergency board meeting and Meredith's like, is this what happened? Is this about Alex and Shane? And Owen's like, what happened with Alex and Shane? And Christina and Meredith go, nothing. I'm like, you guys,
nothing at all. Nothing at all.
Wild. Half of Shane's face is bleeding. I think someone's gonna figure it out.
I don't know. Shane's too, or Owen probably doesn't care because Shane fucked Christina. He's like, honestly,
yeah,
I don't.
He's like, thank God someone should be punching him.
Yeah, I just can't. I'm the chief of something.
Yeah. So yeah, I think that's mostly the main part of the episode. Did you have anything else that you remember that we didn't talk through?
I don't think so.
Okay.
It's cute. It, you know, I know we talked about Bailey and Ben. They're in a good spot. Callie and Arizona seem to be in a good spot. J'April, Meredith and Christina are back. Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that's pretty much everything for the episode. Weber is very funny. He's like really trying to take Ben under his wing. Oh, that scene where so Ben gets a burger. He's like, I can't deal with this peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I got to get a fucking burger like a man. And then he has heartburn in front of Bailey later. And she's like, what, do you have pizza? And he's like, no, absolutely not. I didn't have pizza. It was a cheeseburger.
Yeah, how dare you,
yeah.
Miranda.
So that's just very funny. The way that she's treating him is very, very funny overall. Yeah.
And then, yeah, I think, there's definitely, I think it's a really great episode back. It's a good follow-up episode to such a huge cliffhanger. It's a really great episode of like the spring season premiere. And yeah, I had a lot of lol moments.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, I love to hate on Owen. No shortage of that in this episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's
give it an official rating.
Yeah.
5.
Same.
Yeah, easy.
Yeah. It really was. I was like, this is a really good episode. Like, they're just addressing a lot of things. They're definitely
giving us
setting
HR
a lot of stuff up. Mm-hmm. Again, I think the theme is there are repercussions. Let's see, it feels
about,
like
about
the
time.
Theme of
about
the episode.
Time. Yeah, no notes. There's nothing that I would do that would make this score higher than a 5.
Yeah, and I think we could probably get some predictions on the books.
Well, I gave one prediction. I think next episode, Weber's going to punch Owen in the face because Owen needs a good punch.
Yeah.
I do think that there is going to be an official proposal from Alex to Joe in the wake of this HR claim, the zero tolerance policy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. Yes, the policy is zero tolerance except for people who are already married.
So I think that that's going to force
their hand.
Yeah, I think that they're going to get married because of that. Jackson and April are obviously married. Let's see who else. I think that there should be repercussions for Arizona and Leah as well as Christina and Shane.
Mm-hmm.
So I propose that there will be some sort of repercussion on that. I don't know. Like, there's going to be discipline of some sort. I just don't know what it's going to look like. And then.
Yeah.
I propose that Derek is going to leave his president project in the middle of it. I think mm-hmm. that he is going to do some and he's going to say, you know, this isn't for me, actually. And then book it.
Okay.
And I predict that Ben will continue to succeed and actually graduate and do his surgery stuff. He's going to complete the program.
Okay. And then, yeah, I feel like that's it.
I feel pretty good with those.
Yeah. Did you say Cali and Arizona? Yes.
I think that they've turned the corner. I think they're mm-hmm. good. And if they're not, they will be divorced within the next 13 episodes. If they can get past the next 13 episodes, on the 14th episode, they're locked in forever.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So real quick, though, give me a rundown. What's your truth of what happened? So we see Jackson and April decide to get married. And Jackson say, we can be in Lake Tahoe in 13 hours. What's your truth about what happened after that?
That they went to Lake Tahoe and got married in 13 hours.
You just think they went to I don't know the laws of Lake Tahoe, but I don't think most places other than like Vegas, you can't just go and be like, I want to get married right now. You have to like get the license and like have it for a certain amount of time before you actually get married.
Yeah, I guess I don't know enough about marriage.
So let's assume that you cannot just go and like arbitrarily get a marriage license. What do you think the 13-hour road trip looks like for them? Are they telling anybody?
No, they're not telling anyone. They're literally, I don't think a single human.
She's in a wedding dress. He's in a suit.
Yeah.
They just find a way to do it.
Google, where can I get married right now?
Mm-hmm.
And they do it. I don't know. Maybe they drive to Lake Tahoe to catch a flight to Vegas.
Efficient.
Yes. It's the altitude they're worried about.
Mm, so true.
Yeah. The desert altitude. I don't know. I don't know the logistics, but my truth is that they got married shortly after that and in those same clothes.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm not a J-Pole, but I do think I love her dress. And I do think, like, I don't love them as a couple. I do think they have really good chemistry.
Yeah.
I'll say that for sure. I do think probably Jesse Williams, who plays Jackson, could have chemistry with like a chair. Like he's just gonna have chemistry with a lot of, but I do think they have really good chemistry. Even when they were just like written as friends, I think they just have really great chemistry together. So I don't like them, but I understand it. I see how we've gotten here.
All of my predictions of saying that they would be together, I'm so glad that they came true. I've wanted this for a long time. I'm team J-Pearl.
Okay, so we do have some Discord questions. I know this is a little long, but it's only because we have not been on task for most of it. Okay. So, do you agree with Jackson and April's decision to get married and predictions from Carmen on if it will last?
Yes, I think they made the right choice to get married because at that point, you really don't have another choice. And I predict that it will last. Yeah. They're in love. They're deeply in love. And they're going to have just lots and lots of sex all the time.
Will we see Matthew again?
Oh, yeah.
What will that look like?
Because Matthew, official prediction, Matthew is this season's Gary Clark.
Oh, good God. Is he going to drive the ambulance into the hospital?
Oh, yeah. And the ambulance has been retrofitted with machine guns.
Oh, it's a tank ambulance.
It's a tank. Yes. A tambulance.
Yeah. Callie saying her and Arizona have purchased a murder house. Would either of you buy a murder house? Would you want to know if it was a murder house? Carmen, I have to make a prediction, would never buy a murder house.
Correct.
Carmen is afraid of ghosts.
I don't even
fuck with a ghost.
There's a work conference in Savannah this year that multiple people have told me that I should go to, and I don't want to go because Savannah is 90% ghosts.
Yeah. Savannah's great though. I love Savannah.
Yeah, I don't know. I do not fuck with ghosts.
If a murder house was like perfect, like truly a perfect house, and they're like, someone was murdered here, I'd be like,
then it's not perfect.
Knock off $100,000.
Then it's not perfect. It's like when Jess sends me a house and says, this house,
I'm like, that's fine.
No, if when Jess sends me houses, like she's just looking around and she's like, this house is perfect. I go, it has no pool. It's not perfect. I don't think you understand the definition of the word perfect.
So she sent me a house that she was looking at here.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, this is my house. That is the model house for a different neighborhood built by these same builders. But the model house in that neighborhood is our exact layout.
That's funny.
She sent me my house. I was like, same taste.
Yeah.
Okay. So then.
While you're looking at those questions, I need to just very clearly, I need to talk about the ghost thing a little bit more. If science had come far enough to where I could know about the ghost, who they are, what they do, what they were, how they died, are they kind, and believe them, I would fuck with ghosts. It's the scary ghosts that I don't fuck with, and the scary ghosts have ruined all ghosts for me.
You're being ghostist.
I am being ghostist, and I don't feel bad.
Here's my thing. If you know someone was murdered in the house, but they can 100% guarantee there's no ghost, but you just know someone was murdered there. But
that's
there's
different.
100%
that's different.
No ghost. And there's a pool.
Then it's the perfect house.
Okay, perfect.
The thing is, though, if you're murdered in the house, 100% chance you're fucking around as a ghost. If I get murdered in this house, I'm haunting everyone.
Everyone or just the person who murdered you?
Everyone.
That's fair.
I'm
also
teleporting
a lot of people.
I'm teleporting
just for the vibes.
The neighbors, the anyone adjacent. If you walk past with your dog at night, I'm haunting you.
I will make that dog bark.
Yeah.
Now that Jackson and April are married, what will their biggest challenge be?
Jackson's mom.
Fair. Do you think Callie is really ready to take the leap to buy the house after Arizona's explanation?
Yeah, I do. I do think so. I think that Callie's the kind of person, especially with what they've gone through over the last couple of months here, that she wouldn't do it if she didn't feel it and believe it.
Do you think they'd use the same storyline if it was Trump? No. They would use, there would be a way to get Derek somewhere. It just couldn't be the president. Like they could get like, you know, maybe some like international insane, or like even have someone essentially that he needs to cure, like someone really important to him or just like into the world. Like the queen needs her brain mapped, Derek.
The creator of Pokemon needs their brain mapped.
Yeah. But yeah, I absolutely don't think they would do it if it was Trump. Should Shane be back in the OR so soon?
No way.
Yeah. Where do his crimes rank against other intern residents going rogue? Izzy versus the LVAD, Meredith with the clinical trial, Christina operating for Burke. I think I'm on your side. It's definitely lower. Like, those were such active choices, and this I feel like was just not him, is the best way to put it. Like, yes, obviously he did still put himself in that position, but ultimately it is very different. And I think Izzy would absolutely say she would cut the LVAD wire again. I think Meredith would and did say she would do what she did again with the clinical trial to get Adele that medicine. Christina and Burke, I don't know that Christina would do that again. I do think she regretted that. But I do think, like, if Shane like, you know, in hindsight, I do think he would be like, oh, you know, that was on me and I would never do something like that again.
I think, yeah, there's a lot that Shane has regrets on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think with any of the things that when the people in the show do wrong things, mostly it's not because they're bad people. Like, I don't think that Shane is a bad person.
Right.
I don't think that Meredith is a bad person. I do think
Owen's a bad person.
I think Owen sucks. I don't know that I think Owen is a bad person.
Don't worry. I think that.
Yeah, totally. So, yeah, I think that he would, it ranks lower. Definitely ranks lower.
Okay. So I think that's it then. Do we have anything else we need to say?
No. And unfortunately, I need to go edit this episode now because I didn't realize that Kelsey said this episode comes out today, which is tomorrow,
which is
it's 11 o'clock at night.
It's today, my time.
That's crazy. That is crazy.
Yeah.
We're in two different days right now recording.
Yes. That happens pretty regularly when we record.
I don't think I ever realized that. That is nuts.
Fucking mosquito. I swear to God. I don't think I got it. Okay. So thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you for supporting. Thank you for the lovely reviews. Make sure you follow us everywhere. You go to graysacademypod.com and you can find links to our Instagrams and our Patreon and our merch and all of the things that you could possibly want are going to be on that website. And make sure that if you see Carmen walking down the street, remember,
no spoilies. We appreciate you all so much and we will see you all in the next one.